Hello and welcome to the Film Pulse Podcast. This is episode number 502. My name's Adam Patterson. With me today, we've got Kevin Rickstraw. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, hello.
This week on the show, we're going to be talking about Robert Morgan's Stop Motion. We're also going to be going over some of what we're watching on the watch list and new releases in theaters via DVD, Blu-ray. Thank you so much for joining us this week. If you like what you hear, consider giving us a review on iTunes. That'd be great. Let's go ahead and just start things off with our review here. We're talking about Stop Motion. This dropped on VOD platforms. I have a synopsis here. A stop motion animator struggles to control her demons after the loss of her overbearing mother. This is the feature debut from Robert Morgan, who himself is an animator. He is a stop motion animator. He had a segment in ABCs of Death 2, and then he did a bunch of short films previously. We'll start with you, Kevin. What were your initial impressions of Stop Motion?
Stop Motion. Initial impressions is it would have been nice if stuff happened. Because a large portion of this movie, nothing really happens. So that's unfortunate. And then when things do start to happen, I don't know. I was kind of already checked out at that point. I was kind of bored to tears. And then the wheels started turning. And I got to say, the stop motion stuff, once, I started getting more stop motion, like horror stuff, it was okay. Yeah, I could watch a movie of this. Like, why haven't I seen this for 45 minutes, just about? At least that's what it felt like. So that was an interesting choice. I don't know. Just like the character developments just made it's just a mess.
I agree. I 100% agree. This is an absolute mess. Maybe one of the most disappointing movies I've seen so far this year. When I saw a trailer for this for the first time, I was like, oh, okay. Like, it definitely piqued my interest. I like stop motion. I think the idea of having a stop motion horror movie, this is in the same vein as like Barbarian Sound Studio or what was that other? There was another one. It was a very similar. She was a film censor. It was called Censor.
I think it was called Censor,
and that was sort of the same thing, where you have a person in a creative role and it like sort of consumes them and whatever. So that's kind of the initial vibe that I was getting from the trailer. And I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. Like, the work consumes her and like the stop motion creatures that she's creating develop a life of their own. But what you have here is your pretty basic, she goes crazy for whatever reason. She goes crazy and starts to kill people, and it's just there's no justification for anything that happens. Certainly not enough. Like, as I was watching it, I was thinking, why is this happening? It must be so rare for someone to just kind of snap like that and have that happen to them, that it just seems so pointless. And I also agree with you that this, I think as a result, because we knew she's gone crazy, everything was so boring. It was just so boring because we kind of knew the beats of what was going to happen here. She was going to continue down this downward spiral. She meets this young girl who sort of inspires her, down this path. It's pretty clear from the very beginning that this girl is non-existent. It's in her head, sort of some sort of manifestation of her inner being or desires or whatever, inner creativity she had that was being stifled by her mother or whatever. But the thing is, it's just none of it is interesting. None of it goes anywhere interesting. There are a couple positives that I'll say about this movie. Just to not sound too negative on it, I did like the stop motion work. It was very creepy. It was very gross. And that's sort of like the main positive thing that I really have about this is that there are a couple really disgusting moments in this. Like if you're looking to get like feel uneasy, there's a couple things that happen where you're just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an aversion to meat, raw meat and meat close-ups of meat being cut up and torn and rotting meat, you might want to stay away from this one because there's a lot of that going on. Maggots.
Yeah, a lot of disgusting meat stuff.
Which I'm not really sure. Like, I don't really get the whole meat thing. You know, like, is it like a representation of dead creature, like dead, and then like she's bringing it back to life with the animation, like that whole ongoing thing, is that what the meat represents?
And the dead meat, and then she brings it back because she animates it, you know? Yeah. And it's interesting because they make it a point to tell you that a couple times, not just once. Like, yeah, bringing stuff back to life, back from the dead.
Yeah, she animates her mom, too, while she's in a coma.
Yep. Because, you know, you bring in...
That's what she does, you know? She's an animator. She gives life to the lifeless.
100%. And what does she get out of it? She goes fucking insane.
She goes insane and kills some people and, like, cuts open her leg and pulls something out of her leg.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know what that was she pulled out of her leg. What was that?
I have no idea. This movie lost me. I just didn't understand why anything was happening. And again, the character development, like it starts off with her mom as being kind of like a, you know, a domineering, like, you know, just
borderline abusive. Yeah,
just like borderline, though. And then all of a sudden, it's just next day, and it's like, dude, she's the worst fucking person in the world.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, and now she's in a coma. What the fuck is happening?
Well, the funny thing is, it wasn't even like immediately the next day. It was like a few minutes later, because that the next morning at the like breakfast, she seemed kind of normal. And then like right mm-hmm. before she had the stroke, maybe that's a byproduct of what happens when you have a stroke. I don't know. Actually, you should probably know that since
yeah, I wasn't mean. I just want to sleep.
That's a symptom of a stroke. You get mean right before it happens.
That would be funny though if that was a thing. Like if someone just starts being an asshole, it's like, are you having a stroke?
Wait, right now? Are you having a stroke right now?
Because you're being a dick.
she just like completely performs a 180. It's not like she was a super nice person to begin with, but her personality just completely changes on a dime there, and then she has a stroke, and the daughter is like sort of free to pursue her own creative endeavors. See, the mom is this like super famous stop motion animator, and the daughter, following in her mom's footsteps, she's a very talented animator herself, but she's sort of stuck under the thumb of her mom. So she's working on like her mom's film and not her own. And with her mom in a coma, she has the opportunity to do her own thing, which is, you know, about a girl trying to escape from some sort of creature, the Ashman.
Ashman.
Mm-hmm. Also, like I feel like making your models out of meat, raw meat.
Terrible idea, dude.
It's such a bad idea for stop motion. Like you have to use so much meat, because if you think about stop motion, like one day, which is probably all you'd be able to use the meat for safely, right? Like, if you probably get like 1 minute of animation done.
Well, not only that, but you're touching the meat.
Oh yeah,
and then disgusting. You're going. You're touching your keypad. Now you got it.
Oh yeah,
disconnect the keypad. You got to disinfect so many things.
Yeah, that studio was just
crawling with bacteria.
So much E. coli, you know, in that.
Maybe that's what studio. She
actually, cool. You know, brain. Maybe, especially when she's like using the fox, like, you know, half decomposed fox corpse.
I think that's what I'm going to go for, because that's the only good explanation. Because, like, I didn't, again, with the character development, like, I just didn't see anything in her. And then all of a sudden, she's just, like, completely out of her mind.
There's and no, like, okay, yeah.
I guess she's crazy now.
But the thing is, there's no progression. It's, she's like this very soft-spoken kind of, you know, nothing of a person, you know, stuck under her mom's thumb, whatever. And then her mom gets out of the picture, and it's like she's just all of a sudden she's insane. Because the way that it kind of, there is a progression as far as what she does. Obviously, like, it gets to the point where she's murdering, but the little girl shows up basically right after the mom is out of the picture. So, you know, she already loses it by that point. So she's like already crazy. She just gets a little bit more crazy. I don't know. I agree with you 100%. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know how many times we've seen this, and frankly, I'm just like tired of it. You know, like, there's no medical justification for this. Like, I want to know what happens. Like, why did she snap? Why did this happen to her? Was she already like this? Like, you know, there's too many questions, and I feel like in this day and age, we've seen so many movies like this that we need more than just, she went crazy, it consumed her, the work consumed her and made her go mad. Like, that's just not good enough anymore.
No, it's not even close to being good enough. It's honestly extremely boring.
Yeah, I mean, it's just lazy. It's a cop-out. You know, this, I feel like that this movie did have potential. Like, it looks good. There's some really creepy moments. The, like, makeup effects and stuff. There's a lot of, like, almost body horror elements in this, which I think work. But the narrative, the character development here, it's just, there's nothing. It's completely devoid of those things. And so I think it's a missed opportunity. You know, again, this is Robert Morgan's feature debut, and also I don't know if he's done any other, like, actual live action work. As far as I know, he's only done, like, actual stop motion stuff. So I feel like he's got more. He's got a lot to
learn. Because the non-stop motion stuff was just visually was just completely uninteresting.
Yeah, very drab, colorless, nothing new going on there as far as the visuals go. Like, the studio, the apartments and stuff, everything was just very bland, lifeless. Maybe intentionally, I don't know, but it wasn't interesting enough visually to keep me to keep my attention either. There was one other thing I wanted to mention, and I can't remember. Oh, one of the things that they do that bothered me in this is that they use this, like, muted audio where, like, people will be talking to her, and they do this from the very beginning. In fact, I think it's the opening scene when the mom is talking to her as she's animating. It's, like, super, super muted, so you can barely hear. It's, like, muffled. And it's so annoying. And they do it many times throughout the movie. And I don't know what it's supposed to represent, like, her being, like, lost in her own head or something, where she's, like, not listening to the outside world. I don't know. But it is super annoying, and I hate it. And I didn't like this movie.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree. I did not have a good time.
Huge disappointment. Let's give it a score. I'm sitting at a it's hard because I do wanna like kind of not praise the stop motion, but the stop motion was good. But I'm still gonna have to give it like a 1.5.
Yeah. I'm with you. 1.5.
It's just kind of garbage, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a pattern for me this week.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of garbage.
What else did you see?
Yeah, garbage? We'll just transition right into one that is worse than stop motion by far. And that's Argylle by Matthew Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I knew, like, I heard bad things about this. So this was like a curiosity thing. I also plan on watching Madam Web, by the way. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's like one of the worst things of the year. So I do want to see that too. But Argylle is this like kind of action comedy spy thing that's like, it's about, so Bryce Dallas Howard stars in it. She plays this author who writes these spy novels. And as it turns out, the things that she's writing in the book are sort of coming true, and an actual spy played by Sam Rockwell finds her and sort of tells her that there's this like evil organization that's coming after her to try to like kill her or something. And she gets like kind of thrust into this real life spy scenario. And it's absolute trash. Like, it is so ridiculous on so many levels. I don't understand how a disaster like this could have really how it happened at all. Like, I guess like it's more because Matthew Vaughn has, like a pretty decent pedigree in Hollywood. Like, he's the guy behind the Kingsman movies and Kick-Ass. So, you know, made some successful movies, so I guess they thought that give him some money to continue doing that. But this is just utter garbage. It is the action sequences are cartoonishly ridiculous. There's a scene. I'm going to talk about this one scene towards the end. It's not really giving away too much of a plot detail. This is more of a set piece where they're fighting in this like warehouse that has all this oil, like oil drums. And Bryce Dallas Howard's character she was like an ice skater. And there's oil that's spilling all over the ground. And she realizes that, oh, I used to be an ice skater, so I can slide around on this oil like it was ice. I can't remember what she sticks to the bottom of her. She sticks knives to the bottom of her shoes. And the action sequence is her skating on oil like it's ice and like fighting these dudes. And it is laughably horrible to watch.
Yeah, this sounds terrible.
It's so bad on so many levels. Like visually, it's completely awful. There's so much bad CG in it. The comedic bits do not land. The whole thing with Henry Cavill, like, he's the fictional version of the spy, right? And then Sam Rockwell is the real life version. So as she's like watching Sam Rockwell like fight off dudes and stuff, it switches to this like first person view where you can like see her blinking. Like, you can actually see her eyelids closing, and it like flashes back and forth between Sam Rockwell and Henry Cavill for no reason. Because, spoiler alert, you find out that she was actually a spy and the Henry Cavill character is actually based on her. Which, by the way, I totally like, I knew the ending. Like, I called the twist so early on. It's not like a big surprise. I didn't think it was a big surprise twist at all. But anyway, yeah, Argylle, complete trash. Avoid it. It's not even like, it might be a so bad it's good type thing. Like if you're looking to get together with your friends and have like a bad movie day or something, Argylle is definitely worth some laughs.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I'm never watching that.
Oh, no. Don't. You would hate it.
Guess I watched something that I didn't hate. And guess where I saw it? It was on Tubi.
Oh, classic.
It's where all the good movies are. You know it. I know it. Everyone knows it. I watched Blue Monkey from 1987. William Fruitt. Blue Monkey.
Interesting.
The title card tells me that this movie is actually called Insect with an exclamation point.
They breed, they hatch, they kill.
Yeah, they sure do. This movie is kind of wild, as you can imagine. It starts off with this old guy in a greenhouse. He's helping this lady out. And he's touching this, you know, she just got this exotic plant from like some island somewhere. He touches it and he's like, ah, shit, you know, cut my finger on it. He asks her out. They're going to go on a date. He's going back to his car. Holy shit, he just drops. And he's got to be taken to the hospital. Shit's going, crazy stuff is happening. He gets to the hospital and it gets like this massive maggot worm thing crawls out of his mouth. So now it's at the hospital. This exotic insect. And things just get crazier from there. And it turns out to be like a praying mantis type deal. But another thing that happens, the praying mantis thing is in the hospital. They're keeping an eye on it. They got it contained, right? But these fucking kids, there's these four kids in the hospital, and man, they just get into all sorts of stuff. These kids are just having the time of their lives. And they just dump like a shit ton of like hormone growth, you know, that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just a ton of it. And it turns into like a massive, you know, like 10-foot tall praying mantis.
Nice.
Creature design is phenomenal. It looks great. You get some great kills. It's absolutely ridiculous and outlandish, but at the same time, it's done in a way where it's like, it's, you know, they're taking it seriously and it just works because, in all seriousness, like, again, creature design is great. The effects work is great. The kills are pretty fun. Like lighting and framing taking place in this movie. Like, this movie is a lot better than what I was expecting. Like, I expected going into it that it was going to be outlandish, right? And I got that. It delivered on that. But it also delivered on, like, actually being a, like, surprisingly competently made film where I was, like, actually enjoying the filmmaking throughout it.
Nice.
I gotta say, Blue Monkey, you gotta see this bad boy.
I already added it to my list. I will definitely seek this one out. Watch it on Tubi.
The first bit of blood that you have is there. The guy, one person's like freaking out because they're, you know, they got bit, they're contagious or whatever. And they do the clear, you know, with the paddles. Like clear. And as soon as they touch his chest, an explosion of blood just all over everyone. And they're just like, oh, shit.
Nice. Well, keeping with that, I saw one that I was kind of surprised about, and that's The Beekeeper, the Jason Statham one. I didn't realize this, but it's directed by David Ayer. I didn't know that. So I went into this expecting it to be completely ridiculous, because, I mean, look at that title, The Beekeeper, starring Jason Statham. Like, how can it not be ridiculous? What I didn't know is just how ridiculous this movie was going to be, and in a good way, because what this movie essentially is it's a John Wick knockoff. You have Jason Statham as this beekeeper, and he's an actual, like, he plays a guy who is keeping bees in Felicia Rashad's barn. He's, like, renting out her barn, and is just keeping these bees, you know, he's keeping to himself, but you know he's got a past. You know there's something going on there. And Felicia Rashad is just this, you know, like, kind old woman, and she gets scammed you know, by these internet scammers that say your computer's infected. And right off the bat, when they revealed that the villains were going to be internet, like, virus, you know, scammers, I was like, okay, now I'm kind of interested in this. And what happens is they end up fleecing her out of not only her life savings, but she was managing this nonprofit, like a children's, I can't remember what it was, like a children's hospital or something. And they stole all the money out of that too. And it basically caused her to end her own life. And of course, Jason Statham being the beekeeper, he's like, all right, you know, I'm going to find these scammers and destroy every single one of them. And it's incredible. It is absolutely over the top. The level of violence in this is like not what you would expect at all. Like what he does to these people is hilarious. And it also has this whole, like, when I mentioned the John Wick comparison, the other thing is that there's this like whole underground, like this whole covert team, like the beekeeper is sort of has a double meaning, where there's this like government program called beekeepers, and the beekeepers are the ones who like keep order and keep balance in the world. So there's this like giant ridiculous like I don't know, espionage type angle to it as well. And then like and then there's like a contract out on them, so the current beekeeper goes after Jason Statham as a retired beekeeper. And yeah, it is completely over the top and ridiculous, as I said. So much fun. I actually really had a blast with this. Very surprised. I thought that it was going to be like a, you know, generic Jason Statham action movie. It is definitely not. It is more than that. So I do recommend checking out The Beekeeper.
Hell yeah.
And I see that this is probably going to get a sequel, guaranteed.
Oh yeah, you got it. Beekeeper 2, The Hive.
Yeah, something like that.
I bet you any money.
That's the other funny thing is, like, you know, the dialogue in this is so bad. There's so many bee puns. Not puns, but be. Yeah, like talking about the hive and the queen.
I was gonna say, like, the whole organization, right, has to use like bee metaphors.
Yeah,
right.
Like they the FBI is trying to track down Jason Statham because, you know, he's going on this rampage, and they're like, there's this type of bee called a queen slayer, and they're like, there's this type of bee called a queen slayer, where if the queen is disrupting the hive, the queen slayer will go and take out the queen and appoint a new queen. And that's what he's doing. So he's going to the queen, and guess who the queen is? The president of the United States of America.
Holy shit.
It's I'm telling you, dude, it is so ridiculous. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And Josh Hutcherson plays the main bad guy, and he's like this ridiculous like vaping crypto bro. It's who's like the head of the scam company. Oh my god, it is incredible.
I can't wait to watch this shit. I finally finished David Lynch's filmography, pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
Taking a quick look here. And yeah, I have seen all of his feature-length movies now. So I finally caught up with Inland Empire and watched this bad boy. You know, I was always put off by the 180-minute runtime.
Yeah.
But once I realized that I was one movie away from David Lynch, I was like, fuck, I gotta do this. Like, what better time than now? Gotta get it. Because it's on Criterion before it disappears, because I watched another movie, Alan Arkin's directed movie called Little Murders with Elliot Gould, which was super interesting, but I started it towards the end of the month, and I went back to finish it, and it's not on Criterion anymore. And I was devastated, because Little Murders, it's hard to find. Okay. So I was so excited that it was finally out on Criterion. Started it. Very interesting movie. And now I'm just stuck in limbo. So after that happened, I was like, fuck it. Let's start a 3-hour long movie. Because that'll probably disappear from Criterion too. So jumped into this. Laura Dern is incredible in this movie. She's doing a lot. Playing, I don't know how many different people. And honestly, just for her performance alone, I think it's worthwhile. The look of it is interesting, to say the least. At times, it looks incredible for digital. At other times, it looks terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember it looking terrible.
Yeah, there's moments. It has its moments, but man, some of it is just, it's rough looking. But man, the score too, you know, like the sound design score, David Lynch films, and you know, all of his work, honestly, that the scores are just always so perfect, where it's just like they're unsettling, but at the same time, like beautiful. Like it's just, there's just something about it. He knows how to score a goddamn movie to get like the exact atmosphere and like just pervasive sense that you want in what he's going for. And man, does he do it here? But it is weird because at like towards the end, it's just like Beck's song, and you're like, okay, like we're doing a whole, it's like the whole Beck song too. But it's just like a music video essentially at that point. Just like, okay, we're doing a music video for Beck's Black Tambourine. Interesting. But I gotta say, I wasn't obsessed with this or in love with it as much as I wanted to be, because I was really excited at the beginning, because I'm like, wow, this is really different. I have a feeling that this is going to hook me, but I don't know. It just...
But I think that that's how a lot of Lynch films are. Like, I think all of his films initially grab you, and then at some point when they take that inevitable turn, it's either really going to work for you or it's not.
Yeah.
And like,
and I mean, the turn kind of worked for me, but it just kept turning and turning and like folding in on itself. And after a while, I just kind of got turned around and I was just like, yeah, I don't know what's happening.
I don't think I really gave this movie I wasn't really committed to this movie when I initially watched it. I remember watching it on my laptop like ages and ages ago. And I remember finding it to be like incredibly boring. And I remember it took me like multiple sessions to get through it.
Yeah, I could see that. I kind of had the same problem with it, because it does like it makes these twists and turns, and you know, doing this like folding in on itself, and she's, you know, becoming all these people, and it's just, it kind of gets a little bit repetitive after a while.
Yeah, and I just remember also like just hating the look, hating the digital video look, not video, digital.
Yeah, film. I would say I like kind of liked it. I'll say that I kind of liked it.
I'd have to, yeah, I think I'd have to revisit it. But the thing is, like, I don't see myself doing that.
I think that's the thing too, because when I was like, as soon as I was done with it, I was like, you know what? That like I could probably gain more from this on a rewatch, but I just don't see myself doing that.
Yeah, cool. Well, congratulations on completing the your Lynch filmography. Looks like, yeah. I also finished my Lynch filmography, but I didn't realize it that I saw everything of his, at least feature films. Speaking of Lynch, I saw My Son, What Have Ye Done by Werner Herzog. This is produced by David Lynch, I believe.
Hell yeah.
I don't really have anything to say about this. I just wanted to mention it because you mentioned Lynch. I didn't like this. It starts off interesting, I think. This is also a movie that I don't think is very good looking. I think that there are some interesting choices with the cinematography, but I think overall it looks very cheap. This might have been digital, actually. Also, this could have been like a digital thing, but like it just doesn't look good. It looks very bad. If you're not familiar, this is with Michael Shannon, where he kills his mom and it opens with Willem Dafoe and Michael Pena as police detectives who are at the crime scene. They are investigating the murder, and then they find out that Michael Shannon, who is the perpetrator, has barricaded himself in the house, and he's like, apparently he has hostages. And then the movie just kind of jumps back and forth between now with them trying to like negotiate with him and try to figure out what's going on, and interviewing his fiance, played by Chloe Savini, and his acting coach, played by Udo Kier. And it flashes back to him like basically just going through a mental breakdown, slowly losing his mind to get to the point of where we're at here. This one does a much better job of showing like someone's like downfall into like schizophrenia, way better than stop motion. But I still didn't really like it very much. I didn't find it very interesting. I didn't find the characters to be very interesting. Like Michael Shannon was good, but everybody else was just kind of meh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember kind of being split on this movie. Like, it started out really, really interesting.
Yeah, it does start out really interesting.
Slowly lost me over time.
I think he kills his mom with a sword, and you just, you don't know why. But the thing is, when you do find out why, I mean, you never really find out why. It's just like, oh yeah, he kind of went nuts. Like, he went to Peru and like lost his mind. Like, I think he had schizophrenia or something, but yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. Yeah, that's all I got.
I'll quickly mention one other bad one. That's No Way Up. This is by Claudio Fa. This is sort of one of these like containment thrillers. What you have here is an airplane crash in the middle of the ocean, and you have some survivors that are stuck in an air pocket inside the plane. But guess what? They're sharks. So not only are they stuck in the bottom of the ocean in an airplane, but they're sharks swimming, so they can't just easily, you know, swim up to the surface.
God damn.
Yeah.
That is a tough situation to find yourself in.
They're not in a good situation. I'll be honest with you, Kevin. They are not in a good situation at all.
There's no way out.
I will say, so one good thing I will say about this, the effects work is actually not too bad. Surprisingly, like it doesn't look horrible. I was expecting it to look really bad just because I knew that this was probably going to be a fairly low budget movie, and you're dealing with like plane crashes and sharks and, you know, stuff that requires a decent amount of effects. And they did pretty good. Like the plane crash scene was actually very well, I wouldn't say it was well shot, but it looked good, like the effects work and stuff. Like, there's a giant hole in the plane and people were getting sucked out and stuff like that. And then, like, the sharks, they didn't look too bad either. We didn't see, like, you know, we didn't see them, like, really super close up or anything, but they did a good job with making the sharks look decent. Everything else is pretty bad. Like, characters are piss poor. Very, very one note, like one dimensional characters. You mostly comprised of like sort of archetypal characters. Felt very, very like Hallmark movie esque, like made for TV movie in the the sort of tropes that you have here with the characters. Like there's like a little girl and her grandparents and. Like, it also, like, the plane is almost empty, and the way that they made a point, I guess that they just couldn't really, or didn't want to get that many people in it, so they, like, made a point to note that the plane was old, and there weren't that many passengers on board, so, like, the plane's, like, half empty, which is kind of rare.
It's just an old plane.
Yeah.
That's an old plane.
It's just an old plane. Yeah,
you know? Can't fit too many people in here. It's too old.
I wouldn't really recommend it because it's not like so bad it's good. It's not like on that level, but it's not good either. So it's just like kind of meh. It's forgettable. Dialogue is the script is horrible. The acting is not terrible, but you know. Cole Meany is in it.
Saw that. I also saw that this guy did two sniper movies.
Right before we started recording, I briefly looked at his filmography, and I did see that he did some sniper movies, some of the sniper sequels, and he did Hollow Man 2. So, you know, you know what you're working with there. I didn't see any of his other movies, but I imagine that this is better than Hollow Man 2.
I don't know.
But you never know, I guess.
You just, that's got Christian Slater.
I don't know. I mean, it could be maybe Hollow Man 2 is kind of a sleeper.
You never know, man. You just never know.
I don't recall the first Hollow Man being very successful.
No, I don't think it was.
I think it was, I know that critics hated it, and I don't think it made that much money. And if I remember correctly, it was also pretty expensive with the effects and stuff. And it still gets a straight-to-video sequel. All right. Let's take a look at what we have in theaters this week. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. That's the big one. That's the big boy. I really don't have anything to say about this. It looks like it could be fine. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks fine.
The last one, that's the Ghostbusters Afterlife or whatever, that was fine. I kind of want to rewatch it, that one, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll see this at some point. I don't know when. We also have Immaculate coming out.
Immaculate.
Yeah, that one also looks fine to me. You know, I'll check that one out. VOD this week, starting with the 19th, we have Room Zero. I'm not sure what that is. Maybe a horror movie? Room Zero? After learning that her younger sister has a rare disease, a young woman makes the desperate decision to get the money for a life-saving procedure by any means necessary. As a mule, she helps steal a mysterious device, but after accidentally activating it, she gets stuck in a repeating time loop that keeps her trapped in a motel room.
Oh, no.
Interesting. Might check that out. We also have Carl Jackson's Lax 2 Paris. Carl Jackson's Lax 2 Paris. Yep. I'm not really familiar with Lax 1. I don't know if it's Lax or LAX. Might be LAX. I don't know.
I would think LAX. I don't know.
I mean, it's capitalized. It's probably LAX, actually.
About an airport. Carl
Jackson.
That's going to the airport.
Carl Jackson's making some airport movies. We have French Girl coming out also on the 19th. We have Asleep in My Palm. Tim Blake Nelson. Question everything. Then on the 21st, we have Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, this is the new Roadhouse. The Roadhouse remake.
Remake of Roadhouse.
Jake Gyllenhaal. I'll check that out just out of morbid curiosity.
No need to remake Roadhouse.
No, I agree. Just like they don't need to remake The Crow. I don't know if you saw that the trailer for the new Crow movie came out this past week.
Don't need to do that either.
Yeah, it's just not necessary. On March 22nd, we have The Fox. We got Late Night with the Devil. I'm actually interested in that one. That's probably going to be what I push for review next week. Dad and Stepdad's coming out. Dad and Stepdad, yeah. Finally getting a release on that one.
Watch out now.
I definitely recommend that.
Yeah, definitely.
Hulu is getting Freaknik, The Wildest Party Never Told, which is a documentary about the Freaknik party in Atlanta. Let's see. Shudder is getting You'll Never Find Me. What is this about? Patrick, a strange and lonely resident, lives in a mobile home at the back of an isolated caravan park. After a violent thunderstorm erupts, a mysterious young woman appears at his door seeking shelter from the weather. And then, you know, stuff happens.
Bet you things don't turn out well.
No, probably not. Netflix is going to be getting Shirley with Regina King. A little biopic there. Blu-ray this week. Let's see. We got the Ring Collection coming out. That is The Ring, The Ring 2, and Rings.
Rings. I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
You saw that. I didn't even see that one.
Did I see this? Yeah, I sure did. Oh, yeah, I saw that movie. I gave that a 1 star.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it on the show.
Rings. Yeah.
K-19 The Widowmaker is coming out in 4K. That's a Shout Factory one. Collector's Edition. Manchurian Candidate, the 2004 one. Child's Play, the 2019 one. Carrie, the 2013 one. What is this, like a remake? Remake week or something?
Freaking remake week.
Witness from 1985.
Witness.
Love Witness. Changing Lanes from 2002. Dark Water from 2002, coming out in 4K. That's being put out on Arrow. Rent-A-Cop from 1988.
Rent-A-Cop.
Yeah. Target from 1985. Target. Gene Hackman and Matt Dillon. Interesting. Let's see. Lynch, Oz. We got Blazing Saddles getting a new release. Pretty much it. What about Criterion's?
We got one Criterion, and that's The Runner from 1984.
All right, check that out. Check out The Runner.
Get The Runner.
All right, I think that's going to do it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. You can send us your questions and topics to podcast@filmpulse.net. And if you have a minute, consider giving us a review on your platform of choice. For Kevin Rakeshaw, my name is Adam Patterson. We'll see you next week.